From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Shall we rise for our call to worship? Trusting in the word of life given in baptism, we are gathered in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You call your people to prayer and praise in many ways. This day, bring us together just as you called the people of Israel to gather manna in the desert to eat and sustain life. Offer us the nutrients we need to remain connected to you. As spiritual beings, we desire to receive food that endures faith, hope, and love. All life is created and nourished by you. May we grow into new circles of understanding and being, reflecting the ways in which we have been touched by your holy manna.
Holy
Join in the prayer of the day for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. Gracious Father, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world. Give us this bread that we may live in us and we in him. Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Prepare to be invited to the banquet of the Lord. Most merciful God, despite the kindness of our generosity, we live in the futility of greed and are deluded by desire. We hunger and thirst for righteousness. Give your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy
upon us. The bread of life was given for the life of the world. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake our sins are forgiven. Whoever comes to him will never hunger. Whoever believes in him will never thirst.
Lord, give us that bread always. Amen.
O Lord, open our lips. Seated. It's children's time. Come on up, kids.
Our children's time this morning is led by Jenny Medlin, and it's led by special music by the kids that were in Vacation Bible School in the previous week. We had a wonderful Vacation Bible School, and we're tickled to death to hear a bunch of the kids that were in our Bible School present our special music on Sunday morning.
So today, I want to pretend we're going on a car trip, okay? We're all going to load into a huge van. And this car trip is going to take about 18 hours. And when we get there, we're expected to do some work. There are people in need that need help repairing their homes. There are coasts that need to be cleared and animals that need to be rescued. So I hope you guys are ready, and I hope you can get a little bit of rest because we've got a lot of work ahead of us. No fighting, right? Okay? Don't talk back. I know you're going to be tired. I know it's going to be exhausting. But when we get there, they really need our help. Oh, and one more thing. We're only stopping 3 times. Just 3 times to get snacks and to go to the bathroom. If you say, I have to go potty in between, sorry, we got to wait for the next stop. Hold it. Are you ready? Who's ready to go on this car trip? Oh, good. Well, in today's story, a very similar, well, not quite, but imagine how frustrated and hungry and sad and upset you would be if we really did this 18-hour car trip all together without your family, right? Or if you had to leave everything that you knew you were ready for the fair, you knew you were getting ready for school, you had to leave all that behind because we have to go help and prepare for a better world. Imagine how sad and tired and hungry and now mad you are. Well, our story lesson today is about Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt. They went into the wilderness of sin. They went into the wilderness of sin. Do you guys want to go into a wilderness of sin?
Yeah.
No, me neither. They were hungry and they were mad and they were questioning God. They didn't understand why. And they were so hungry, they couldn't find anything to eat. So Jesus, couldn't they kill a deer? Well, there were no deer. That's a good question. But Jesus heard the cries of his people. And you know what? He provided. He made quail appear during the day so they could hunt the quail and prepare the meat. And then he sent manna or bread from the heavens for them to collect daily to fill their stomachs, to fuel them for the future ahead. Isn't that great? I want you to know that Jesus provides. Can you say that with me? Jesus provides. So he is always providing for us. We don't always know what the end outcome is. So I guarantee if we did load up and go do a mission trip, we would really appreciate it. And you know what? I know we would impact others. But looking to it, we might question it hardcore, right? And say, oh, I don't know about this. But Jesus provides always. So always know that as you go through life, if you feel scared and timid or sad or frustrated, remember, Jesus provides. He provides for us our needs, our happiness, love. Let's bow our heads for prayer. God, thank you for always being with us, providing for our basic needs, but then providing for those that we don't even recognize we need. We feel your love daily. Help us to appreciate it and to share your love with all those in this world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Would you all please stand up? And if you are with Vacation Bible School, please come over here to the side, so to my left. And I'd like to invite any other children that were partaking in Vacation Bible School up to the front.
Our Old Testament lesson is read by Susan Berger, followed by the gospel reading and his sermon, What Restless Hearts Need, by our pastor, Reverend Gene Maul.
Our first reading today comes from Exodus, chapter 16, verses 2 through 4, and then 9 through 15. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness and said to them, "Would that he had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate bread to the full? For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not." And Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings." And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the murmurings of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening quails came up and covered their camp, and in the morning dew lay round about the camp. And when the dew had gone, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as hoarfrost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat."
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it was written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" And then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father which gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And then they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I may have mentioned this person before, but I was at a conference one time where we had a Bible study leader who originated in a Jewish home. He had by now become a Christian pastor, and he had served in a Norwegian congregation and now was teaching in a Lutheran college. And he said that when he came home from school as a child, his Jewish father did not ask, "What did you learn today?" But rather, "Did you ask good questions today?" Well, today, questions are being asked in our text. We might wonder if some of them are good questions or not. But at least, it were questions that Jesus could use to lead the people on to deeper understanding. As a reminder, our gospel last Sunday began speaking of bread. You saw that amazing meal of the loaves and fishes in the feeding of the 5,000, and I believe Alan shared that with you as he talked about it. See, Jesus had led them on at the beginning of that meal and said to his disciples, "Where will you get enough bread to feed all of these people?" But we discovered that there was enough and then some with those two fish and five loaves. Jesus said possible when the disciples said impossible. And then the disciples of Jesus retreated to that other side of the Sea of Galilee. And in between then, Jesus walked on the water and met them on the way. The people had followed and looked for Jesus, for they did not have enough of that bread that he had provided for them. Finally, they found him on the other side of the sea. That must have been one busy waterway with all these boats going back and forth. But they had one mission, and that mission was to look for Jesus. And that brings us to question one in our text for today. Rabbi, when did you come here? Rabbi was a title of respect. But this really was a question of, first of all, curiosity, for they realized that there was only one boat that had left and Jesus was not in it. But he was there. Well, they never did quite get that answered. But it was also a question of control. Our text begins with a crowd seeking and looking for Jesus in Capernaum. Is seeking Jesus good or bad, we say? Would they know what to do with him if they caught him? You know, the last time the crowd was with Jesus, they were going to take him by force and make him a king because he had fed them so nicely. But he withdrew from them and left the place. The crowd wanted to make Jesus into their image of a leader. And Jesus will have nothing to do with that. Maybe Jesus does not want to be found, but they found him. And if they find him, then we can control him and make him king of our bread for the tummy movement. You know, it's like all these animals nowadays. You know, they like to get a little handout here and there. Birds and geese, you ever see them like to be fed? Or how about raccoons as they visit your garden sweet corn or things like that? Or if it's some marinas, you'll find the fish pooled in a place where people will throw bread out and crumbs out, food for them. And they'll just be churning in the water in order to get the bread. They could go out in the lake and find other food, but this is so easy here. Let the people feed us. I can still remember the fish in my father-in-law's farm, the Brandt farm down near Russellville. He had a pond where he had some catfish. And he would go out with his bucket and feed them every day. And he had his walking stick. And he had a little tin can on top of that stick. And he would get near the pond and he would shake that stick in a certain way. And all of a sudden the water in front of him would start churning and bubbling with the catfish. We tried to do that ourselves a few days when he wasn't able to. And somehow we didn't do the right rattle. The fish never came. See? But handouts are common in even the nature world that we know. But people in churches may do this too. You know, sometimes, that question, Rabbi, when did you get here? We want to know exactly what's happened. And similar questions are often heard. You know, if something different is there, and I might say, who is that? Or when did this change that we're doing something differently? Or who made that decision? You know, while such questions can simply be requests for information, they may also be asked in a way that the tone indicates, I do not like the things that are happening around here without me being informed. Or saying, nobody asked me about it before you all did this. Well, what does Jesus do here in this case? He does not throw out any more crumbs to them, but he calls their bluff. And he says to them, you follow me because you ate your fill. No, do not go for the food that perishes. I mean, tomorrow you'd be hungry again. But work for the food that endures to eternal life. John's gospel has a way of always leading the people on to a deeper and deeper relationship with the answer. It reminds us of another question that was asked in another circumstance in Scripture. where it said, "Is life not more than food?" Well, that just leads to the second question. What must we do then to perform the works of God? Well, if you would tell us what to do, you know, maybe we could change and have plenty of bread to eat and so forth. They still wish to be in control. Okay, if you do not wish to be our king, just give us the formula and so we can do the works of God and we can do what you have done. We can get that food for our tummies. Well, Jesus says it's not by doing, but believe. Believe in Jesus whom God has sent. Well, they only wish to have something done, to do something, but Jesus says believe. Believe is the word. You know, church people can have a similar problem at this point. This attitude of seeking Jesus to only satisfy our own desires and sometimes selfish desires. On the one hand, you know, experts are saying that a congregation's agenda needs to be set by the needs of the unchurched that we seek to reach. On the other hand, many congregations are full of consumer Christians, those who are involved primarily for what they can get out of it, rather than contributing Christians. Those who are involved primarily for what they can give to the ministry of the body. Perhaps it's a both-and situation. I mean, recently in a new member group, I talked about the credit union nature of the church. What will I receive? But what can I give? What will I receive? I had words like this: grace, forgiveness, spiritual support, friendships, peace, purpose, growth, social involvement, relationships. And in the what can I give, I said, I can give myself, encouragement, prayer, love, forgiveness. That made both lists, forgiveness. Understanding, caring, special talents, time, financial gifts. That list could go on. Well, to approach this with another metaphor, the church is often called a hospital for sinners, and it is that. But for any hospital to be effective in caring for patients, it needs to have staff, people, both maybe paid and volunteer, people who are there, not to be attended to, but to tend to others. Would Vacation Bible School have happened without volunteers? Ask yourself that question. I don't mean to imply that any of us reach the point where we do not need to be patients in this hospital for sinners, but to point out that some of us also have a role in being workers in the hospital. Ideally, then, every member of a congregation sees him or herself as both a patient and a worker in the hospital. We should understand that coming to church, or more properly, when the church gathers together, it is not just to get something out of the service and fellowship, but also the opportunity to give and make use of our gifts and our talents. And I suppose you can all ask yourselves that question. Where am I? Am I a getter? Am I a giver? Or somewhere in between? Well, that all leads to a third question. What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? After all, our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, you gave them bread from heaven to eat. As if the sign of the feeding of the 5,000 was not enough. His care, his love, his compassion at that point. The sign was right there. Jesus was right there in front of them, and they did not see it. It's like the old Alfred Hitchcock television mystery. A man was killed when he was struck over the head with a frozen leg of lamb. And when the police came to investigate, his wife, who had done the deed, had cooked the lamb and served it for dinner to the investigators. See, as they ate, they wondered about the murder weapon, not knowing that they were consuming it. See, in a similar way, These people were missing the evidence that was there in front of their eyes. The manna was not from Moses, but from God. How well we are reminded then that all of the food that we have is not from Cal's or CNR or Hy-Vee or someplace like that, or our gardens or fields, but from God. And the bread from God gives life to the world. Well, no more questions here. They just say, give us this bread always. Then comes the zinger. Jesus says to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. See, as long as we place ourselves in his hands, there is always enough bread of life. There's that story about this desert area of Nevada where a traveler had come across an old rundown well. And he found a rusty tin cup tied to the pump there by the well. And inside was a message with an old folded up piece of brown paper. And it said, this pump is fixed as of July of 1928. I put a new sucker washer in it, but the washer dries out and the pump has got to be primed. Under the white rock, I buried a bottle of water. There's enough water in it to prime the pump, but not if you drink some first. Pour about half of it in and let it soak and wet the leather. And then quickly pour the rest in and pump away. You'll get water. And when you get watered up, fill the bottle and put it back like you found it there under the rock for the next feller. Signed, Desert Sam. And then added a P.S. Don't go drinking the water first. Prime the pump with it, and you'll get all you can hold. You've got to give before you can be give to. That teaches us, just believe and keep pumping. Jesus offers himself to us. And in our gospel, now people are finding what restless hearts really need. Not just food for the tummy, not just loaves and fishes, but what they need is the bread of life. Just believe. It also said in other places, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. You may have life in all its fullness. And that's no different for us. Every heart we find is restless until we find rest in God. And when that rest comes, then we can also be ready to go serve in life. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.